All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, a CW2-type United States Army helicopter pilot in 1969. Welcome to Veterans Radio. Welcome to all you civilians out there that are listening, and especially to the men and women who have worn the green, blue, white, any other color uniform you can think of. We really do appreciate your service. Well, we've done it again. We've had another peaceful transition of power here in America. Every 4 years we do this. I was just thinking as I was riding in this morning that 8 years ago we didn't know what in the world was going to happen. We had a new president coming in and everybody was all outraged and everybody was all up in arms and, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Now we've got a new president and everybody's going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Everybody's up in arms and nervous about what will happen. So I think what we'll do is hopefully what they did 8 years ago is we'll give this gentleman a chance and see what he's got to offer and see if he does come through on some of his promises. Some of them sound pretty interesting and maybe beneficial to all of us. But just remember, you know, that we're watching all the time. Or was that George Orwell that said we're watching all the time? Anyway, we want to give Mr. Trump an opportunity to see what he can do to, as he calls, bring the country back, and we'll see where we go from there. So we're going to be talking about some of these things in the next couple of weeks because we want to see what happens when all of his cabinet members are finally approved and confirmed, and then we're going to take a look at what he plans on doing with the Veterans Administration and with the military, and we've got some guests lined up that have been involved with the VA in the past and involved with the military also in the past. And we're trying to bring in younger people. So we've been in contact with the Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America. There are some other groups out there that we want to make sure that we include. So if you have anybody that you think that would offer us a good, clear, truthful opinion of what's happening in the VA and in the military, please have them contact us here at Veterans Radio. They can go to veteransradio.net, click on contact, and we will get back to them. So there. We promise that we will do that. We're very interested in what's going to happen, mainly because we don't. So much is unknown right now, and if there's going to be as many changes as we've heard about, you know, people get a little bit nervous when they hear about change, and I think that that's probably what's going on is that people are just upset because, it's very difficult for some to just change their ideas. And what President Trump is talking about is really radical change in the way that the government works. And so maybe we will drain the swamp a little bit, I hope, and get rid of some of those career politicians down there, both sides. And that's enough of that. My opinion. That is my opinion, not necessarily, as the intro says, the opinion of WAAM or Veterans Radio itself. Today's program, I'm really excited to talk to our guests. We've got a two-part program, really. The first part is going to be all about veterans' mortgages and what we can do to help people get mortgages. And there's an organization out in Long Island that's called Sell to a Vet. And I thought this was a great idea. I said, whoever came up with an idea for an organization that just is there strictly to sell to a vet? And we'll talk about some of the issues that many of you, probably you and I, have gone through in trying to get a VA loan, not necessarily from the banks, but sometimes people are a little bit hesitant to sell to a veteran because there are requirements and so forth that we have to go through. And so we're going to be talking to them in just a second. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking to our friends at the Military Writers Society of America, and we're going to be talking about their award winners for 2016. This is a great organization, and I really suggest that those of you that are interested in military history or military stories and so forth is to just go to their website, the Military Writers Society, and you're going to find a whole list of books and stories and all kinds of things that I think that you'll find really interesting. But we're going to take a real quick break right now, and we'll be back with the founders of the organization called Sell to a Veteran. You're listening to Veterans Radio. All Oh, there's nothing like a little Sousa to get your juices going every time you listen to a military march. My name is Dale Thronberry, and as I mentioned earlier on, you are listening to Veterans Radio. And by the way, if you'd like to get in on the conversation today, we encourage you to give us a call here at WAAM. The number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600 in Michigan. And you can also call us toll-free at 844-838-1600. That's 844-838-1600. There we go. All right, our first guests on our program today are from an organization called Sell to a Veteran, and I'll let them tell you a little bit about it. I'll give you just a quick summary of what it is. It says it's a nonprofit 501c3 organization based in Long Island that provides U.S. military and veterans families with much-needed services to enable them to understand and utilize their VA benefits, primarily their VA loan, in buying, selling, and or refinancing a house. We'll get into more of the things that they do, but joining me on the line right now are their founders. Number one is Michael, Michael Aroney. Michael, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate you having us on.
Okay, and also on the line with us right now is a co-founder, it sounds like, is Brian Goldman. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How are things on the East Coast?
A little chilly.
It's raining.
I know. I think our weather is just moving straight across Route 80 and going right into the city.
Before we go any further, I have to say go blue. My son graduated from University of Michigan.
There you go. Okay. We got that plug.
Got that out of the way.
That's all right. I went there, too, so it's okay. Being originally from New Jersey, people always wondered what was I doing out here. But, you know, there weren't that many schools in New Jersey I could get into. You know, Princeton and what that other place called? Oh, yeah, Rutgers. Those are the only two colleges I can ever remember that were there when I was growing up, it seems like. But anyway, let's get back to what you gentlemen are up to. And, Michael, I'll ask you first to tell us, what is Sell to a Veteran? What is the premise of this organization?
Sure. So I'll start from the way beginning so everyone knows how this came about. We basically started, Brian and I started a real estate company roughly a year ago called Magnificent Homes. My grandfather was a veteran. He passed away, and I was determined to do something in his honor. After speaking to a very good friend of mine who's a decorated veteran here in Long Island, New York, he mentioned to me that Long Island has the highest population of veterans anywhere in the United States outside of San Diego. And the unfortunate part is that it's an untapped market. There are so many veterans out here that have no idea how to purchase a house or how to use their benefits. A light bulb went off in my head. I called my partner, Brian, and I said, Brian, we are starting a veteran division. We're going to call it Sell to a Veteran, and we're going to trademark the name because it's awesome.
It's a great name.
So I got a hold. We formed the company. And Senator Croce, who runs New York State Veteran Affairs, got a hold of us, loved what we did, or should I say loved what we do, and said there's one thing you need to do. You need to make it a 501c3 and grow it nationwide and help every veteran that you can. So Brian and I decided to take Sell to a Veteran, take it away from our real estate company and basically build a 501c3 not-for-profit organization that helps eligible veterans and active military families achieve the American dream in a nutshell.
Wow. Brian, you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you from a legal end. I'm a practicing attorney. I've been practicing in New York and in California for over 30 years. And when we first approached this idea, I do a lot of real estate law. We realize that there's a lot of problems with convincing and basically educating attorneys on how to go about the whole process. And we can get into that in a few moments if you'd like. Because there are a lot of pitfalls, a lot of requirements that most people don't know about when you're dealing with veterans purchasing homes or refinancing their homes.
I am very interested in doing that, and I've got a lot of questions. Well, I guess one of the things that I mentioned in the introduction was that sometimes you will find home sellers that are a little bit reluctant to sell to a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that a little?
Sure. So basically when we launched the 501c3 Sell to a Veteran, Brian and I said there are two types of people that we need to approach. We need to approach the veterans themselves and active military families who can purchase a home nationwide and teach them and educate them. We're basically an educational platform for these veterans, and which we can get into a little later. But on the flip side, as you mentioned, Dale, the sellers. It's the sellers that we need to approach, hence the name Sell to a Veteran, mm-hmm. where we need to educate and inform the sellers that not only do something patriotic, not only give back to your country in selling your home to a veteran, but really understanding that a VA loan or something thereof that a veteran must go through is nothing more different than any other type of mortgage out there. It's the same time frame. It's the same principle of the matter. And that's one of the things that we pride on here is finding those sellers here in Michigan, Florida, California, wherever they may be, that will, in fact, sell to a veteran. And just to jump further, and then we can come back. And the best part about Sell to a Veteran is when that seller does sell to that veteran, the commission, quote unquote, if you want to call it that, that a realtor gets, we actually take that and we put it back into the charity. Mm-hmm. So the seller not only is selling to a veteran, but they're also funding another veteran to purchase another house. So it's a complete 180.
Oh, I like that idea. So, Brian, what is the advantage of getting a VA loan over their other types of loans out there?
I'm glad you asked. That's really the most important issue here. First of all, veterans don't know about these plans. I mean, it's amazing that when they leave the military, they get an exit, an exit interview, if you will, but they don't really go into the specifics. Let's talk about the specifics. If I were going to buy a home, I'm not a veteran, I would have to finance through a bank, and in New York, you'd have to put down somewhere in the neighborhood, I guess, between 10 and 20% down. With a veteran's home loan, and this is one of the most incredible features of it, you get 100% financing.
Can we repeat that one?
Yeah, you get 100% financing. So if you want to buy a house, and let's say the house is a $350,000 house, the lender is going to lend you $350,000. Not 80%, not 90%, but 100%. That's the first thing that, and this is where a lot of attorneys in New York and a lot of real estate agents don't understand the concept. Because under normal circumstances, when you purchase a house, when you go into contract, you have to give a down payment. Mm-hmm. Usually it's 10% of the purchase price. But in as much as you're getting 100% financing, the problem that I faced as an attorney representing buyers is to educate the seller's attorney that we don't need to give you 10% because there's no 10%. My client is getting 100% financing. And the way it works, Dale, is really kind of interesting. What we do is let's assume you wanted to purchase a home. We have lenders that are VA approved. You go through the process, you give them your documents, and then you get a pre-approval. I like to call the approval similar to the Willy Wonka golden ticket, because that's what it really is. In New York and in many states where there was this whole subprime problem years ago, many people got these pre-approvals, but they're really not worth the paper they're written on. When you get a VA pre-approval, you are good to go. So armed with that, then our veteran turns to us and says, okay, I've now been approved by X dollars. And we say to them, all right, where would you like to live? They tell us, and then we go find them a home. Now, the other pitfall is that when a veteran's lender looks at the proposed house, it's got to be in pristine condition. If there are problems with the house, they have to be corrected prior to the VA lender approving the sale. And this is, again, a problem, because if you and I, Dale, were going to purchase and sell a house, if we agreed on a purchase price and a sale price, and then the VA lender comes in and says, you know, there's chipping paint, the siding needs to be fixed, there's a little problem with the roof, that's going to cost, let's say, $5,000. They turn to the seller, because the rules say that the buyer, the lender, is the veteran is not permitted to pay for the repairs. Mm-hmm. So we turn back to the seller and say, Mr. Seller, even though we've agreed upon a price, you need to fix this house in order for me to buy it, and it's going to cost you an extra $5,000. Sellers don't want to do that because they have already made an offer. An offer has been made and accepted. So what we have to do, what Michael, my partner, has been very adept at doing, is he looks at these houses prior to the contract, tells the seller, listen, we're dealing with a veteran, we're dealing with a veteran's loan, and these are the things that are going to be required. He knows what to look for, mm-hmm. and he tells the seller, listen, it's going to cost X. Are you willing to do that? And 100% of the time so far, Michael's been able to have them come up with the funds necessary to pass muster with the VA lender.
Okay.
And if not, guess what happens, Dale?
Don't make a sale.
Nope. That's where we come in. And that's where a sell to a veteran.
Oh, you'll come up with the difference?
Funds their money. Correct.
Okay.
So I am military and veteran housing certified. I also mm-hmm. have my military relocation professional designation. I am a member of every veteran real estate board that you could possibly think of. I like to say that I have more certifications and designations than your typical person out there dealing with veterans and active military and housing. So let's say a seller does not want to do those repairs. Let's say a veteran doesn't have some form of closing money for closing costs, mm-hmm. or they don't have a down payment, or we like to call it earnest money, just to basically say, hey, listen, I am legit. I'm not walking away from the contract. Here is some money to tell you that.
What about the appraisal, the VA appraisal? I know I got caught in that myself one time when the appraisal came in lower than what the guy wanted to sell the house for.
So I'll talk about the appraisal in 2 seconds.
Okay.
So if for some reason these veterans who are eligible that can purchase a home, they show enough income, they have good credit meaning 560 and above,
mm-hmm.
and but they don't have the means or the repairs, that's where a sell to a veteran comes in, and we fund that money. Most banks, or should I say some banks, I shouldn't say most, some banks will pay for the appraisal themselves. Other banks have the veteran pay for the appraisal.
Right.
Regardless, if the appraisal comes back shorter than the actual house, just like shorter than the offer, just like any offer, conventional, FHA, VA, it doesn't matter, the seller has to come down to the appraised value. I try to teach my veterans and active military families and other realtors working with them, I do not want to see a veteran purchase a home more than its value. So if the seller is not willing to come down to that appraised value, go find another house.
True.
Right. And Dale, if I may, there's one thing that may have gotten glossed over. What Michael was saying about the credit rating. Again, you and I, if we were going to purchase a home, we'd be held to the standard of most banks, which look for a 700 and above.
Mm-hmm.
A veteran only has to have a 560, substantially mm-hmm. less than your average Joe on the street.
Okay.
That's one more fundamental difference between a veteran's loan and a regular regular conventional mm-hmm. loan. Major hurdle that we don't have to, rise above. A 560 is so much lower than what normal banks require.
Right. Yeah. I wrote that number down just because I thought, wow, I know a lot of people that have been talking about getting houses whose credit is not that good, but is above that. All right. Well, we've only got about 8 minutes to go. Holy mackerel. Okay. So do all lenders participate in VA loans?
Not all lenders participate in VA loans. Some lenders will shop out. If a veteran or active military family want to go through a VA loan, they would either come through the Sell to a Veteran program or find a bank that's a direct lender of a VA loan.
Okay.
You want that direct lender.
Okay. We're talking with the founders of Sell to a Veteran, and if you have any questions, I suggest that you get a hold of them. I've got a couple of questions here I want to go through real quickly with you guys. Number one, what is the maximum VA loan that you can get?
Sure. So in Michigan's area, your maximum is about $475,000. I like to say the expensive areas of the United States, like where we live here on Long Island, and parts of Michigan and Florida. So basically where the homes are higher in value, you actually have up to $625,000.
Okay.
And I'm going to say one more thing based on that question. And this is where veterans are going to be like, whoa, I didn't know that. You can use your VA loan benefits more than once.
That was my next question.
So you can use them more than once. Let me give you a scenario, and I'll make it quick because I know we're short on time. Let's say you go purchase a house for $200,000, and your limit is $475,000. You purchase a house for $200,000, you still have $275,000 more to go out and use that VA loan benefit.
Okay. And if I got out of the service almost 50 years ago, could I still use my VA eligibility or my VA loan?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for your service, if I haven't said it before. But yes, you can use it however long that you've been discharged, as long as you have been honorably discharged and you do have your DT 214.
Okay, and if you did get a VA loan, you paid it off already to go for another one.
So, right. Yeah, definitely. Yep, right. Yep. And if you did not go for a VA loan and you own a house, you can refinance into a VA loan and get a lower interest rate.
I like that idea. I had a question that was emailed to us. Somebody was divorced and their house is now owned by the wife. Can he get a new VA loan?
Okay, so yes, he can get a new VA loan. You said there that he is divorced, correct?
Correct.
And the wife owns the house?
Yes, but the question was that his original loan had not been paid off yet.
Okay, so depending on if the original loan has not been paid off yet, depending on how much he has left, based on his maximum benefit, he would be able to use the VA loan again.
Okay. And how about if I want to build a house?
So VA loans are only good for existing homes. Okay. They are not good for pre-built. You cannot use a VA loan to build a house. You cannot use a VA loan to purchase a short sale. You cannot use a VA loan to purchase a foreclosure.
Oh, okay. All right. What about if I want to buy a modular home?
It depends on the house itself. Most of the time, banks will not fund a modular home via VA, but there are those rare occasions.
Okay. I was thinking of a trailer.
It depends on where the trailer is, the value, if it's your first home, your second home, wherever that may be, there are qualifications that have to be spoken about, and that's on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. Well, folks, if you're listening to Veterans Radio, we're talking to the experts here. It's Sell to a Veteran. You can go to their website and find out more information. We're talking with the founders, Michael Aroney and Brian Goldman. And by reading the information, you guys do a lot more than just VA loans. Michael, tell us a little bit more about what you do. We got about 2 minutes to go.
Sure. So besides the VA loans, we do basically anything that entails the real estate industry. So buying, selling, renting, property management, regardless if you're a veteran or not, we do that. We also hire veterans that want to get their real estate license and make a difference in the world. So we love for those veterans that are interested in the real estate market to please contact us. We will put you through school to get your real estate license and teach you how to make a difference basically in real estate.
The other thing, Dale, is that in our organization, we have a lot of affiliates that work with us and work with the veterans. We have movers, we have landscapers, contractors. It's really a veteran working with veteran company. So it's really a full service, sort of like a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do everything we possibly can to help the veteran. You know, we formed this company because really now is the time to give back. I'm old, much older than my friend Michael here is, and I remember the time when our veterans came back from Vietnam and were treated very, very poorly. This is something that was a travesty. We have veterans across this country sleeping in cars, sleeping on the street. We are here to help them realize their American dream of house, home ownership. It's really, it's one of those good things, good, you know, feel good things that we do, and we're very, very excited about it.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on Veterans Radio, and I, for anybody in our audience that has any questions, you can go to their website. It's selltoaveteran.org, and you can click on contact. I want to talk to you two gentlemen later on at some point in the week to find out about if there's any affiliations in other states and so on and so forth. But unfortunately for that today, we've run out of time. Brian and Michael, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, and thank you very much for what you're doing. This is a well-needed service that you are providing.
Thank you for having
us on. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it. And thank you so much for your service and all the veterans and active military families out there listening. Thank you for your service. You are honored.
Thank you. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks, bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the winners of the Military Writers Society of America's Awards for 2016. You're listening to Veterans Radio. And welcome back to Veterans Radio for the second half of our program. There's nothing better than SUSE to get your juices going when you're talking about military writers and the stories of America's military heroes in the past and in the future and in today's world. We're going to be talking right now to two members of the Military Writers Society, and that is Joyce Faulkner. And Joyce, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
It's good to see you again, to hear you again.
Well, we'll have to work on the seeing part again, and hopefully we can get together sometime in the next year or so. And also we have, and I want to correct, make sure I pronounce this right. John, is it John Cathcart?
That's right.
Okay. John is also on the MSWA. MWSA Awards, one of the awards directors. And Joyce, can you give me a quick background on the Military Writers Society?
The Military Writers Society has been around since, I got involved in 2005. I think it was its second or third year at that point. And it was put together by Bill McDonald, a Vietnam veteran, with the idea that the arts, especially writing, would be a good way for people to work through their experiences in war. And he evolved it over the years so that it would include people who are families of veterans, and he expanded it so that it doesn't have to be about war. A poem about a fire can be about many things, and it expresses the same frustration. So he expanded it and expanded it, and I became president in, I think it was 2009, and what we do over the years is we have expanded the awards program.
Mm-hmm.
And the awards program allows people who have written books and published them to submit to the organization. And over the years, we have evolved the program significantly so that we have a larger base, many more genres than we used to have, and we are very strict criteria for the win. Over the last 2 years, we have clarified that we're not comparing your book against my book. What we're doing is we're looking at the criteria and scoring the books for quality. And if you get the score, you get the medal. However, those scores are pretty hard to get.
Joyce, how many members do you have now?
We probably have around 600 members is what we're looking at the moment. We have had as many as 1,100 at one point. But as you know, we are losing the World War II and Korea and starting in on our Vietnam veterans now.
So, yeah, I know. It's making me very nervous.
It's very sad to
it
see
is.
We are going through the process of cleaning out our roster now and trying to contact people and realizing that, some we know immediately and we grieve at the time, but some of them, may have been dead 2 or 3 years before we get the information on it. That's pretty sad.
Okay. So, John, I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many, books did you have submitted this year?
Well, so far we're up to 9. We just got our 9th just a few hours ago, in fact. And the awards window didn't open up until the 15th of this month. So we'll keep the window open for submissions all the way through the 15th of June. And we look forward to having everybody get their books into us so that we can read them. We've been really enjoying. We've gotten some really quality books over the past year, a couple of years that I've been doing reviews. And so we're looking forward to another great year.
Well, so am I, because I get a lot of great programming out of the books that you that I hear about through the Military Writers Society. And I know that we've had many of their authors on our program, and I had the privilege of going to a number of your conferences and meeting some of these writers, and that was the best part, because we've been able to establish relationships that have lasted now, gosh, I think you mentioned 2009, Joyce. I think that was the first one that I went to.
I think it was. I think that's when we actually met you in person.
That's right, and it was frightening. But no, all right, so we want to talk about some of your winners here, and I want to remind people that we are talking with Joyce Faulkner and John Cathcart of the Military Writers Society of America, and they've just recently have awarded their awards for 2016, and there are many categories. So I guess, Joyce, I'm going to ask you, where did you like to start?
Well, why don't we start at with our nonfiction? That's usually the order that we go in, and it's how we've got it set up on the sheet that I'm looking at now. So why don't we just do that?
Okay. I'm probably putting you on a spot here, but could you give us a brief synopsis of the book if you know what it is, or either one of you?
If I know it, I will let you know, because some of these are pretty amazing.
Right.
For example, the very first one on the list is a bronze medal for Stay the Rising Sun. And while I didn't read this book, there were 3 judges, and I happened to moderate a meeting that the judges had, and they loved this book because it's the combination of World War II, but also the human story behind it. So I know that particular one is called Stay the Rising Sun, was loved by 3 of our veterans, and all 3 were guys reviewed and judged that particular book. The next one is a gold medal for history, and it's called The Forgotten Heroes of World War II by Tom Simmons. I have not read that one, so I don't know. Then we're going to go, those are the only 2 that actually received medals in history. History is one of our toughest topics, by the way.
I would think.
Because of the requirements of fact and sequence and language and rank and, all those things change over time. So they have to be absolutely correct for history. Biography, of course, is a little bit different in that that's a little bit more about point of view. It's still fact, but, this can be your opinion about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a bronze, and that's called Never Fear by Robert D'Angelo. The next one is Harnessing the Sky by F. Trapnell Jr. and Dana Tibbetts, and that's a silver medal. And I read this, and I loved it, because I love airplanes,
yes.
And I love test pilots, and this fellow was one of the early test pilots, so
okay.
I really got a kick out of that one. The next one is called Sergeant Reckless by Robin Hutton, and she received a gold medal, and that's about the horse, Sergeant Reckless, during the Korean War. Next is memoir, and these, I have to say, I haven't read but one. But I'll read them in order, and then I'll tell you about the one that I did read.
Okay.
Cooking Mike is by Bruce Hoffman, and it's a bronze medal. I do happen to know that's about police officers. Dust Off 7-3 by Eric Sabiston is a bronze. Dagger 4 is Okay by Bill Norris is a bronze. And Testimony of the Protected, Doug Milliken, is a bronze. And we don't have many of these, but this is Vietnam Nurse by Louise Eisenbrandt, which is a silver. We don't get many about the nurses.
I was going down the list. I do not know Louise, but I do have. I had a guest on the program a number of years ago that was also a nurse in Vietnam, and so I'm anxious to get a hold of this book and see how they compare and maybe get them together on the air. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, that would be very interesting, definitely. Well, the next one on the list I have not read is Battle Rattle by Roger Boas.
I can tell you about that one.
The silver.
I had Roger on the program. I don't remember his exact age. He's close to 90. And Battle Rattle was what they called post-traumatic stress during World War II, or one of the names that they called it. And it's a great story about his experiences during World War II. And it talks about his difficulties that he had reacclimating to civilian life, and he just couldn't figure out why he was having so much trouble with anger and all of the normal issues that people that have post-traumatic stress. So this is a great story, and this one is up on our website in our bookstore. So Battle Rattle, I suggest to people. I want to get the rest of these up there if I can at some point. So anyway, that's my two cents.
He did well. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the next one is 15 Years of War by Christine Shellhoff. And that's a silver, and I did read that one, and I loved this one. This one actually broke my heart. It's about the family life when you have deployments. And I think it was 8 or 9 deployments during the time that they were having their family, and she had 2 babies without him there. And then they had a child die immediately after the child was, he drowned, immediately he had to leave again. So it was very, very interesting what families go through and what they do to deal with it and how they survive as a family.
Mm-hmm. I think I was just going to say how difficult that had to be, just those multiple deployments and...
You imagine?
I know. I can't imagine. One was enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she probably would be a very good person to interview. Mm-hmm. Because she had me crying several times in that book, I tell you. And, you know, it's because, you know, my husband left early in our marriage. He didn't have to go to Vietnam, but just the stresses of having to move from place to place.
Right.
It was very, very difficult. And the last one everybody loved, and I didn't get to read it, it's called Their Youth and Laughter Go by Seth Tolson, and it received the gold medal for that category.
Okay,
for it sounds wonderful, but I didn't read it.
Okay. We're talking with some of the people from the Military Writers Society of America here on Veterans Radio today, and we're talking about their award winners. And I encourage everybody, if you get the opportunity, to go to their website. Actually, you can just Google Military Writers Society, and it will take you to it. Actually, I think their website is MWSADispatches.com, and all these books, you'll be able to find them on there. So anyway, coming back now to what creative nonfiction, and I read
creative
this one.
Creative nonfiction, and you have... interviewed this lady.
I did.
The book is Gravity by Beth Underwood, and they received a silver. And this is the National Guard unit from a small town in Tennessee
right.
that were all deployed at the same time, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a number of them were killed, and how they dealt with everything when they got back. Yeah, it's a great story.
And the fact that it was a whole town, you know, that's hard to imagine. I guess you have to really go back to, you know, the Civil War and all that tradition where whole groups go, brothers, and it's just very moving book. And then the next one is called Before the Bell, B-E-L-L-E, by Cassius Mullen, and he received a gold medal. The next one is an anthology, and the book is called Currents. It's the 2015 anthology for a writer's group, and I believe they're in New Mexico, maybe. And they received a silver. Jim Tritton is our member. The next one is Reference, Mata Luna by Edward Zellum, received a silver, and that is about Afghanistani sayings.
Oh, okay. I remember hearing about that one.
Yeah, and this is the second book he's done, and I believe this one was done with children. The next one is a coffee table type book, from what I understand, beautiful and moving. It's called Warriors Remembered by Albert Nahas, and he received a gold medal. And then we go to poetry, and we had some really interesting poetry this time. Kenya Maswa by Andreas Morgner received a silver, and I read this book, and I was really, really impressed with it. It was a saga, even though it's poetry, like Ulysses. Mm-hmm. And it's about the war in Africa. Very, very, very interesting. And it escapes me at the moment which war in Africa, but one of the more recent ones, where there was the one group is killing the other group. Very moving book. The next one is The Dark Side of Heaven by Jeanette Vaughn. And she received a silver, and it's about airplanes, which, of course, I love. Now, Dennis Malsby is the next poet. He received a gold medal, and his book is called Near Death, Near Life. And I loved that one, too. He's an amazing. He's very often in our group. And his poetry is very personal and filled with imagery. And it, too, will kind of make you tear up. And then one very, very different is called Welcome to the FOB Haiku by Randy Brown. And it received a gold medal. And very much about,
forward, forward observation base.
Exactly. But what would a forward observation base be with a haiku?
I can imagine the style, though.
Yeah, it was. It was very different and so creative that I went back and read it a second time, and the other people that read it. That they did the same thing, mm-hmm. but it was just so unusual. So, like I say, in the poetry, we had very, very different, four very different poets, but they were all extremely interesting and varied in topics.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're into fiction now, and the first subgenre is literary fiction. And the first one is I'd Walk With My Friend by Jesse Goolsbee, received a bronze. Her Own Vietnam, Lynn Cantor, received a silver. Hookup, a novel of Fort Bragg by William P. Singley, received a silver. Shepherd of the Argonne by G. William Weatherly received a gold, and this one everybody raved about it, and they passed mm-hmm. the book around. They liked it so much. But I didn't read it, so I don't know what the topic is. Hover by Ann Wilson also received a gold. So that's literary fiction. You know, we always have a lot of historical fiction, and that's the next one coming up.
Right.
But we had pretty, you know, a lot of entries for literary fiction for a change. So the next one is historical fiction. The Liberators by Jerry MacLeod received a bronze. One Stick and a Waco by J.M. Taylor received a silver. The Quest of the Sultana by John Rothsteiner.
That's kind of interesting because of your friend that wrote a book on the Sultana.
Exactly, Lewis Interest.
Right.
He had been doing all the research on the Sultana, and you did hear they found it.
Yes.
Have you heard that? Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to read. I'm anxious to check that one out because that was a great story that we heard about before. This goes right.
Yeah,
the next one goes right along with Hamilton almost.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's called The Court Martial of Benedict Arnold by Richard Mann, and he received a gold. And I'll tell you, this is the second book that I know of that Richard has submitted, and people rave about his books. They just love them. Mm-hmm. So that's such an interesting topic for this time period. And the next one, too, Enemies by Richard Barnes, is a gold. It's about World War One, and it's two different soldiers are the protagonists in this book. And I haven't read it. It's one of those that I'm waiting for somebody to give it to me now that they're done.
Pass it around.
Glenn Starkey is an amazing writer as well, and I believe he's even been on your show. And this book of his is called Black Sun, and it's a gold. And then one of our all-time favorite authors is Carolyn Schreiber, and she writes about the Civil War. And I'll tell you an interesting story. We did the retreat in Gettysburg.
Right. Yes.
And one of the Rangers was talking to a group of us right at the angle in Gettysburg. And he says, "You guys are writers. Is there anybody you know that I would know?" And I started, you know, naming off everybody was there. And I got to Carolyn Schreiber. He was just like, "Oh my God, Carolyn Schreiber." Apparently, all the Civil War people know about Carolyn Schreiber. And this particular book is called Dan's Yankee. And it was a gold medal. And last year, she was the author of the year for a body of work.
Okay.
So she just keeps going on.
Yeah.
The next group are mystery thrillers. And we had a lot of really good mystery thriller books this time. Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they're all either silver or gold. So a lot of people.
We got about 4 minutes, Joyce.
Okay. So let's get cracking.
We'll move right along.
Pardon me?
I said we'll move right along.
We'll move right along. Okay, so let's see. Okay.
We're in mystery thrillers.
Mystery thrillers. The Cards in the Deck by Robert Stanick got a silver. Cheetah Quest by Bryn Kalinda received a silver. Carousel by Joseph Badal is silver. Veil of Deception, Michael Lewis, is silver. Beijing Red by Jeffrey Wilson is a gold. Death Ship, also by Joseph Badal, is a gold. And The Fifth Bomb by Kenneth Andrews is the gold. The next one is Romance. Never Forget, Heather Ashby received a bronze. Meant to Be by Jessica James is a gold. And then we have some really interesting children's books. The picture books are Veteran Heroes in Our Neighborhood by Valerie Fleenstein. She received a silver. And Mark's Special Mission by Gregory Keeney received a silver. Then we have a chapter book, The Lost Celt by A.E. Conran. She received a gold. And the young adult is Eugene Bullard by Larry Greenlee. Received a silver. And Hello, Wigwam by L. John Lawrence. Received a gold.
OK. Okay, John, you lucked out. You lucked out on this one, I think.
I did.
I have a question for you. I was reading through your website. We were talking with the Military Writers Society of America and just kind of went through all their award winners, and we got about 2 minutes to go. And I saw a story in there by Bob Doerr about if you're a new writer, you should submit your books to be critiqued or to be read or, you know, send them into these things. What do you think about that, John?
I think it's a good idea, especially, I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that have a great idea in their mind, but they're afraid to take that first step, you know, to start putting pen to paper or fingers to keyboard and get the book done. And so sometimes it's real helpful to talk with someone else that isn't a million bookseller on New York Times, because you won't be able to talk to them anyway, but that's a fellow military person or someone with an interest in the military that can say, well, here's what happened to me and here's what I suggest. And that's one of the really important and useful things about the Military Writers Society of America, MWSA, is that it gets writers together of all different stripes. We've got people who haven't written anything yet and who may have just made it through high school, and we've got you know, very successful multi-thousand book sellers. So we run the gamut, and I think that can be very helpful.
Well, suppose I wanted to join the military writers. How would I go about doing that, Joyce?
You would go to the website, and you would say join, and you would fill out the form and pay your fee, and you're a member. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you're ready, you could certainly submit your book. We have at least one event every year, and that also gets you newsletters and a magazine called Dispatches that's fully laid out and designed. And if you have never been published, you have an opportunity to be published in that newsletter or in that magazine. So it's a good opportunity to get practicing if you're brand new.
I think it's a great organization, and I want to thank both of you for coming on the program on a Sunday afternoon and telling us all about your winners. And I encourage our audience to go out there and check out the Military Writers Society of America. I think you'll find it very interesting. We got to go. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, John. And we'll be back next week with Bob Gould as your host. Until then, you are dismissed.